Today, on the Travel Guys, in the travel news, the airlines are caught cheating again, this time in print.
The Travel Guys are live from Provincetown on beautiful Cape Cod, and we've got a lineup of guests to make you a smarter traveler on your next visit to the Cape. From Martha's Vineyard to Nantucket to Provincetown, here's a rundown on the excitement of one of America's favorite East Coast playgrounds.
In our entertainment segment at 2:45, Clayton issues a call to artists who would like to be part of the annual KVIE art auction.
All that today, live from Cape Cod and Sacramento with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks out the roof.
Yes, sir, and welcome to another edition of the Travel Guys and Entertainment Radio Program. I'm Tom Romano, along with Clayton Whitehead in the studio with me here in Sacramento, and all the way across the country, as you might be able to tell by the just slightly different sound of Mark's voice. Not that it's higher or lower, but it's got that Matrix thing going. Mark in Cape Cod. Mark, are you there?
I am here with my trusty producer, Chris Galloway. We are ready to go.
Outstanding, outstanding. Well, we've got a really a good show set up for everyone today. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And this is one of those days with the way the weather is, you really can't risk getting outside for too long. So I think to settle in with the Travel Guys radio program seems like the way to go. Clayton, how are you doing today?
Great, Tom. Great seeing you. Great being out of the rain for a little while.
Outstanding. Well, let's do what we do at the top of every Travel Guys radio show and jump right into the travel news. The Mark Hoffman Quartet takes us into the travel news. Mark, what's new?
Well, Tom, if the price of your airline ticket falls, are you eligible for a refund? If you bought your ticket through Alaska Airlines, then you can walk right up to the ticket counter and get a refund for the difference. JetBlue and Southwest offer a future flight credit in similar situation, but only Alaska guarantees their fares. Other airlines aren't so fair in their dealings, but that doesn't mean you can't snatch back some of those lost funds should your ticket price fall dramatically. Virgin America, along with a few others, will charge you $75 for changing your reservations. Bigger airlines like American or United charge a $150 fee. Yes, even if the fare drops, they charge you that fee. But if the ticket you bought for a trip to Sydney suddenly drops $400 shortly before your departure date, those fees wouldn't sound so arduous anymore. So how do you keep an eye on dropping ticket prices without constantly checking your airline's website? Be a smarter traveler, says our tech man Ryan Quinn, and check out yapta.com, that's YAPTA.com, which tracks the price of your flight after you buy and alerts you of any price drops. Reminder, you can go to travelguysradio.com to get any of the websites that we announce on today's program. Dining out costs more, and now one card will be rebating you less if you use your Costco Amex for dining rebates. I have a bit of bad news. The American Express Costco card is lowering its restaurant rebate from 3 to 2%, just the latest in reward reeling in by credit card companies who under new federal law have to be more honest in their dealings with consumers and therefore are cutting back on previous perks to increase profits in areas hit by the new regulations. Memphis, Tennessee wants you to know they are open for business. Memphis attractions, restaurants, hotels, and historic sites remain open. The Memphis International Airport was unaffected by the flooding. Downtown Memphis is built on a 30-foot hill. World-famous Beale Street is open and continuing to play the music that made Memphis the home of the blues. Here's an interesting note from San Diego. A tour of brothels, bites, and booze is now available in San Diego.
A what?
brothels. It's called Brothels, Bites, and Booze, Tom. It's So Diego Tours, not San Diego, but So Diego, is offering a new walking tour in downtown San Diego's historic Gaslamp Quarter. The main focus of the tour is diverse sampling of food, beer, and signature cocktails at five restaurant stops, but the real highlight is the stories guests hear en route about what really took place on the downtown streets during the late 19th century when a flourishing red light district filled with gambling halls and brothels once thrived in what is now the Gaslamp Quarter. The tour is offered Wednesday through Saturday. More information is available at travelguysradio.com.
Now, don't they have this in Carson City already?
Outside of Carson City.
Yeah, okay.
But that's a real brothel, Tom.
There you go. And, of course, it's available at TravelGuysRadio.com, as you might expect.
The suspicious and noisy package that caused evacuations at an Oklahoma City airport Friday contained a bullhorn that played Christmas music, some wiring, and part of a cell phone. A Will Rogers airport spokesman said airport officials called police after hearing sounds coming from the box when it showed up on the baggage carousel on a flight from Houston that caused 30 flights to be canceled or delayed and affected nearly 2,500 passengers. A bomb squad determined the package was harmless, and the FBI said the box's owner missed his flight and was apologetic. No criminal charges were expected. The airlines are being naughty again. The U.S. Department of Transportation, also known as the DOT, is once again penalizing airlines that practice deceptive price advertising. Thursday, the DOT fined Continental and U.S. Airways to the tune of $120,000 and $45,000, respectively. In the Continental case, the agency found that the company's website failed to include fuel surcharges in its listed fares. In one example, a fare from San Jose, California to San Salvador was listed at $2.98 on the first two pages, but increased to $5.38 once the fuel surcharge was added on the third page. In the U.S. Airways case, DOT said the airline's website advertised a fare to Rome of $659 with an asterisk noting additional taxes and fees, but provided no details on the type or amount of fees involved. Yay for the DOT for looking after us.
Winning
the war?
Wait, let me jump in here real quick here for the benefit of our listeners. Now, these airline fares and the full disclosure. Now, this doesn't have any impact on when you go to Southwest or United or whatever. And you look at what the price is posted there, you still have to consider there's going to be that landing and takeoff and taxes, or is that all now included in that price?
Well, is it now all included in the surcharge? It should be. And that's why the DOT is after these folks, to make sure that they do include it. And indeed, among travel websites, I know Clayton's favorite site here. Here's a survey this week that shows that Kayak is the fastest loading website among travel websites, beat all other online travel agents, hotel and airline sites. Among the airlines, the fastest were AirTran and Delta, Frontier and Hawaiian. Alaska was the slowest. And on the hotel front, the fastest loading websites were Marriott and Best Western, first and second, respectively. And that is the travel news. And before I give it back to you, Tom, I just wanted to mention here, we're on Cape Cod. And, you know, there's two ways to get to Cape Cod. One is to travel around by automobile all the way around the Cape. That's what I did this morning, so that my producer, Chris Galloway, could come across on the ferry, which is the way Sports Leisure Travelers are going to come across in September. Pretty nice day out in the water, huh, Chris?
It was absolutely gorgeous. I'm sure my journey was much, much more relaxing than yours.
Yeah, just a bit. I had to travel. You were out on a beautiful high-speed catamaran?
I was.
Wow.
Really convenient to get on and off. Absolutely no stairs. There are restrooms on board. They also have a snack bar. If you care for an adult beverage, that's an option as well.
So you can land in Provincetown already ready to party.
You understand how it works.
I see. So Tom, we are both here in Cape Cod, and we're going to have some wonderful guests coming up for you in just a few minutes.
Outstanding. Well, this is the Travel Guys Entertainment Radio Program, News Talk 1530 KFBK, and right across from me, our partner in crime, the road reporter and travel guy, too, Clayton Whitehead. And this is a new segment of the program, and I played Clayton, by the way. I played him my rough workout of our music theme, and Mark, unlike you, he thought it was really ready to go and I should just play it right off of my phone, but I won't. I will say, though, that it's that time in the show, so you'll know, for the Sports Leisure Traveler. An update, benefits, things you need to know. Take it away, Clayton.
Thanks, Tom. For the over 8,000 active members of the Sports Leisure Travel Club, here's your Travel Club update for Sunday, June the 5th. Seats remain for our July day trip departures to San Francisco to view the Picasso exhibition at the de Young Museum and to see the Broadway hit Billy Elliot at the Orpheum Theater. Check sportsleisure.com for trip dates and prices. Your chance to get to know actress Cloris Leachman is offered on June the 27th when the Academy Award-winning actress performs An Evening with Cloris Leachman at the Gallo Center down in Modesto. Our package includes dinner before the show and transportation. Travel Club members, your next regular newsletter will arrive around July the 15th. Our February departure to beautiful Costa Rica will be introduced and among the featured tours in that publication. Our most recent mystery tour visited the region around Sisters and Bend, Oregon last week. Our group enjoyed a three-night stay at the Ponderosa Lodge in Sisters, a delightful small mountain resort town east of Salem. If you're in the Bend area, the High Desert Museum is one of the most unique museums in the country. Smart travelers will want to put it on their list. Sports Leisure's annual Tour Preview Day will be held on Saturday, August the 27th at the Marriott Hotel. Mark your calendar. Reservations will be accepted after July the 1st in our office. Now, several extended vacation tours are nearing sold-out status. In September, our Michigan and Mackinac Island departure has only two seats remaining. And Ferries, Towns, and Islands of Old Cape Cod has just five seats left. Stay tuned for more on the Cape Cod package coming up on the Travel Guys in just 5 minutes. Looking ahead, Christmas at the Apple Farm is sold out and accepting a waiting list. Our late October departure to Hawaii still has room for 8 more Paradise Seekers in our group of just 20. And finally, our popular annual trip to Key West in January has only 3 seats available as of today. For more information on any of these trips mentioned here, or to receive a complimentary 6-month membership in our travel club, visit our website at www.sportsleisure.com or call our office Monday through Friday at 361-TOUR. That's 361-8687. And that's your Sports Leisure Traveler update.
Ta-da! Nice job, Clayton. Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll return and head cross-country to Cape Cod for Mark's first interview from the land over there. Is there a name for a Cape? What is it?
The Cape.
The Cape.
Yeah, growing up on the East Coast, we just called it the Cape.
To the Cape. It's all right here on the Travel Guys, News Talk 1530 KFBK.
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little villages here and there, you're sure to fall in love with old Cape Cod.
Oh, man, it's almost a criminal to interrupt the rest of this song, Old Cape Cod, Patty Page, as we head to the Cape with, once again, Mark Hoffman, along with Clayton Whitehead here in the studio. Mark?
Welcome. Hello there, Tom. And with me here, I am at the beautiful Surfside Hotel and Suites in Provincetown on the Cape. And with me is Elaine Quigley. Hi, Elaine.
Hi.
Elaine is the general manager here. She's been the general manager for 9 years. She was just showing me, Tom, before we went on the air, pictures. You had a hurricane here in, what was it, 1991, you said?
Yes, 1991, Hurricane Bob.
Hurricane Bob. And we're here in Massachusetts, Tom. Of course, they had some tornadoes this week, so people are a little nervous about the weather here. And when you talk about the hurricane season starting, why, Elaine and I were talking, she was showing me pictures of some of the hurricane remnants, the damage back in 91. But hurricanes don't get to Cape Cod very often, obviously.
Not very often.
Yeah.
They
so
have warned us, possibly this year.
Possibly. Elaine, you have a beautiful place here. I just got here a couple of hours ago. It's right on the waterfront. What a beautiful property. But this is not a brand-new hotel, even though it looks beautiful.
That's correct. It was built in the late 50s.
Wow. And so it's been remodeled numerous times.
Yes. Owners remodel every year certain parts of the hotel. This building here on the court side overlooking the pool area was remodeled just 2 years ago, and parts of the building where you are staying in one of our suites was also remodeled 2 years ago, and this coming winter we'll remodel the waterfront building once again.
Wow, it's just beautiful. They have a lovely pool here. You're just a few blocks, a short walk from downtown Provincetown.
3/4 of a mile.
Yeah, we should tell folks, this is a very pedestrian-friendly city. So if you come here, you definitely want to park your car and be able to walk around and enjoy.
You don't want to try to drive down into town.
No, down into town. No, I noticed that earlier today. Elaine, thank you for your hospitality and for joining us here this afternoon. This is where I will be back in September with my group for a couple of nights, because we have selected this property as our choice. And now that I'm here, I'm really happy that we've made this selection, because, boy, you really have a beautiful hotel.
Well, thank you so much, and we look forward to having your group with us.
Well, thank you, Elaine. Elaine, that's Elaine Quigley, and Elaine is the general manager from the here at the Surfside Hotel and Suites. Tom, you cannot believe, I know the weather in Sacramento has been kind of up and down this weekend. Maybe up and down is maybe mostly down is a better description. But here you can't, it is a picture-perfect day. It must be 70 degrees, there is a light breeze, and people are walking around in short pants. Maybe we shouldn't mention that to people in Sacramento.
Yeah, you know, people keep trying to they'll get the short pants on, and then they'll have to put the big heavy coat over the top of it.
Yeah, that's the truth. All right, I've got my next guest here with me now, Tom. She is Candace Collins Bowden. Am I saying that right?
Yes, you are.
Candace, and Candace is also known as Candy. Oops. Is the is the executive director, is that right?
Of the Provincetown
Chamber. And so this, you get to sell this lovely town to people all the time.
For almost 37 years.
Wow.
How about that one? How long have you been the travel guy?
I've only been a travel guy. Tom and I have only been on the air for a year and a half. But I have been a tour operator for 32 years, so you've only got just a half a decade on me.
Hey, out of Sacramento?
From Sacramento, yes. It is, what a glorious day here on the Cape. We you know, you talk about Chamber of Commerce weather. This is definitely it.
This is perfect. But I want to tell you that I went to California in 1966 as a flower child. I got married in Las Vegas. I lived in the San Fernando Valley, and I had my first child out there, and I loved California and never wanted to come back here. But I wasn't from Provincetown. I was from Massachusetts. Oh, my God, blue laws, old-fashioned. I got back here. My husband got a teaching job in Provincetown. I came down here in 1970, and I have never looked back.
And probably what we should explain to the folks who are listening on the phone, on the air who have never been to this part of the country before, there is a huge difference between Boston and Provincetown.
The differences are so major. When I came down here, I thought gay meant happy. I didn't. I had no idea what it meant. And when I met the population in Provincetown, I said, "This is the way the world should be. This is where I want to."
Oh, just when it was really, really getting good, we were expecting some minor interruptions here. So Mark and his guest will be back in just a second.
And you can come by air. You can come by sea. It's beautiful.
This is just and Provincetown is really the Key West of the North, because it's really, there's only one road in and one road out.
Absolutely.
And so that gives it, I think, a special sort of twist. And this town, very much like Key West of the South, has an incredible friendly feel to it.
Well, I love Key West. I've gone down there, and I even thought about working on the Keys, but there's something about Provincetown. Once you get here, it's the National Seashore. It's the 32 miles of gorgeous beaches. It's being with people, you know, and getting to know them.
And no, and less humidity than Key West. Candace, you're talking about those intangible things, but when people come here to Provincetown, this is not like a one-night destination. This
oh,
is
no.
someplace that people have to come and allow three or four, at least a couple of days.
You know, my favorite thing about Provincetown is that's where the Pilgrims landed.
Really?
Yeah, Plymouth was their second site. They started in Provincetown, and they have a beautiful Pilgrims monument there and some great, you know, really... gosh, pre-early American history. And me being the big history buff, the beaches are great, but then, you know, I'm from Savannah, and we've got pretty good beaches of our own.
Yes.
But I just love the history of the area. It's absolutely extraordinary, dating way back to the early 1600s and the Puritan movement on the American continent.
Now, when sports, leisure, vacation travelers make the voyage, do you have a lot of historical sites that you get to see?
Absolutely. We try to mix fun and history and, of course, eating, because the main reason people go on tour is to be on a seafood diet. You know, if you see it, you eat it. And that's absolutely the best part of touring.
Did you just make that up? You've been using that for a while.
No, I've actually been on a seafood diet for the last number of weeks, especially these last 2 weeks in Spain.
You see it, you eat it.
Yeah, the pants are a little bit tight today.
Well, okay. We will be rejoining Mark in Cape Cod, and we do have an interview that we're going to connect with here. Mark Manchester, What is Mark's title? Do you know?
Mark is with the Nantucket Inn. You know, right below the Cape, there are these two swell little islands, Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard. And he lives on Nantucket, so we're going to get another feel of the Cape from him in just a few moments.
All right. Well, let's let Aaron sneak in here and get us up to date on the news in Sacramento, and we'll return with the second half of the Travel Guys and Entertainment here on News Talk 1530 KFVK. We're the Travel Guys, News Talk 1530 KFVK. My travel guy, in Cape Cod. We're having technical difficulties, and I don't know what to tell you. But at any rate, we're going to continue to try to reconnect with Mark at Cape Cod. In the meantime, I've got Clayton Whitehead across the console here from me. And a good afternoon, Clayton.
Well, good afternoon to you too, Tom. And I'm also happy to say that we have another Mark on the phone right now. Maybe not the Mark we were originally looking for. But while we continue looking for Mr. Hoffman, we have Mark Manchester on the line from the Nantucket Inn on beautiful Nantucket Island. Mark, can you hear me?
Yes, Clayton. Good afternoon. Nice to hear your voice.
It's great hearing you as well, and thank you so much for calling in today. Now, I grew up on the East Coast. I know all about the Cape and the islands, but, you know, most of our listeners here are going to be from the West. So what can you tell us, kind of, you know, give the West Coaster a little orientation about your beautiful position on the Atlantic coast?
Well, Nantucket is an island 30 miles off the coast of Cape Cod, and it's accessible by boat or by air. And the hub of the Cape, Hyannis, Massachusetts, you can take ferries over to the island. In the summer season right now, as we're approaching that, there's two types of boat companies. Both have fast ferries, which are an hour boat, a dock to dock. They also have traditional ferries for the automobiles and the food that feeds us out here. And also you can fly in numerous places, Boston, Providence, New York, Newark Airport. Even though we are kind of remote, it's very accessible.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and I think certainly the remoteness is a lot of the beauty. Now, I have to tell you, though I'm a professional traveler, I've never learned how to pack light. When I travel on those vessels coming over, can I bring – are the people to help with the luggage, and there's plenty of room for the luggage on board?
Oh, absolutely. All of the ferry companies, they do offer luggage carts, and they do have staff to assist.
And how about bicycles?
Bicycles, absolutely. Nantucket is a very bicycle-friendly island. Over the last few years, the town has created more bicycle paths. We're trying to encourage that, and it helps with the congestion of the summer season with some automobiles. So it is definitely a biker-friendly island. It's pretty flat, a couple peaks here and there, but easy riding. We do host groups like bicycle tour groups out here on occasion throughout our season, and they hit up the Cape and then ferry over.
Excellent.
Come get them, and they enjoy the beauty and tranquility of the island by bike.
That's wonderful. So you're from the Nantucket Inn. You're one of the accommodations there on the island?
That is correct, Clayton. The Nantucket Inn, we're a 100-room property, one of the larger hotels on Nantucket. We just opened 2 weeks ago, May 20th, and we'll be open through October 16th, actually. And it's been so far so good.
Mark, you got any questions going on from the...
We're just up the road here from you, Mark, in Provincetown. Are you having as beautiful of a day down there as we are up here?
Absolutely. It is gorgeous.
Yeah, this is... I have Candy here from the Provincetown Chamber, and Candy was explaining before we lost her. Candy, you were telling folks that when you got back here and that this was just a very special place, and you were telling us the reason why.
Oh, well, Provincetown is magic. You can get here by car, and it's close to an island atmosphere, and there's just a beat in the air, and the pilgrims came here, and you just feel this special feeling when you're here, and you have a wonderful time. You have great nightlife. We have a gay community that... is extremely special in Provincetown. Lots of diversity, and it's one of the most wonderful walking towns in America.
Oh, my. Have we lost them again?
I don't know.
Sounds like it. Do we still have Mark Manchester?
I'm still here, Clayton.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for staying on the line.
Oh, no problem.
Forgive our technical difficulties. We're doing our best here today.
Oh, thanks.
We should have sent them to your lodge there, and you could have been on the... Maybe we should put them on the phone.
It's a weak signal from up here on the top of the Cape, I'm afraid.
we got you back, Mark. Okay, go ahead,
yes,
guys.
Yes, you do.
So we have both Marks on the phone now. Mark Hoffman, go ahead.
Yeah. So, Mark, besides being able to fly in, when folks come out to Nantucket, we're talking about Provincetown being an extended stay sort of place. Is that the way with the islands, too? Do folks generally come to just one island? Do they try to visit both islands at the same time? How does that generally, for folks that are not just regional visitors?
I would say they try to hit up the Cape and both islands if they have a certain amount of time that they're going to be in the area. And like you said, if they're not regional visitors that come in annually, this might be a once-in-a-lifetime type of thing, or they might not do it down for many years to come. You can, it is accessible to hit up both islands. One of the boat companies, they do offer inter-island ferry service in the summer season, and I think it's one or two boats daily. And even though
it's actually possible to see both islands in one day in the summertime.
It could be. It's a short window, though, depending if you're on Nantucket and you'd like to go to the Vineyard. If you're not going to stay over on the Vineyard, you want to come back to Nantucket, your window's short. But if you can find lodging in both areas, I do highly recommend it because both are picturesque and gorgeous.
Well, Mark, we can't wait to for our Sports Leisure Travelers to get down there, and I'll have an opportunity to get down and see you in the next couple of days.
Excellent.
Thank you. Mark Manchester from the Nantucket Inn joining us here on the Travel Guys. We'll send it back to you, gentlemen in Sacramento.
Okay, thank you, Mark. I'll tell you, I don't know how we managed to get stuck here, Clayton, and Mark's in the Cape.
I know, it's just not fair. Here we are in rainy Sacramento, and he's in paradise.
What is it about? Go ahead.
Well, life is sometimes life is like that, guys. I mean, you know, it seems like fair to me. I mean, I was in Oregon and it was raining all week, so now that we're over here on the Cape, I have to tell you really though, guys, this is a really amazing Provincetown. I know you lost part of what Candace had to share there, but Provincetown is such an incredibly pedestrian friendly place. It's just, today it's a weekend, of course, so there are families, there are folks coming and going on the ferry boat. It's Sunday afternoon, so there are more people going than there are coming. But what an incredibly wonderful place this really is. If you've not been here, you need to put it on your list, because with all the history that surrounds the city of Boston, a drive out to the Cape, you could have yourself an incredible combination for a wonderful vacation.
Now, when do the Sports Leisure Travelers be heading to the Cape?
Well, they come in September. The best time really to come is up until about next weekend, and if you want to avoid the large summer crowds, and then you want to wait till after Labor Day. And there's a little window after Labor Day and until about the first week of October when the weather starts to go bad, when you've really got an opportunity to be able to, that there aren't as many visitors here. The weather is the best. It's pretty much like if you think about the Oregon coast, Northern California coast, September is the most perfect time to be out there traveling. And that is very much true here on the Cape, is that September is a better time. You also get rid of about half of the of your fellow tourists once you get past that magic Labor Day time. So it's a beautiful place to visit, and even if the weather is bad, I know there are folks who come here in the wintertime for storm watching because it is such a spectacular place to watch a storm.
Well, let's not talk about storms too much, but I will remind our listeners that we have 5 seats remaining on Ferries and Towns of Old Cape Cod in September.
That's it.
Only 5. Tom,
well,
you can come and take 4 of your friends. That's it.
that's it, Tom. Probably, I think, one of the most overlooked parts of the whole Cape here is in New Bedford, which is a town that isn't technically on the Cape, but kind of adjoining to it here on your way over to Rhode Island and to Newport and all the mansions over there. And in New Bedford is a whaling museum, which might not sound all that exciting to folks until you think about the fact that the whaling industry was very big on this side of the country a couple of hundred years ago. And so there's a tremendous cultural influence here. A lot of the old sea captains' homes homes and stuff like that can be found in these little towns up and down along the Cape, in Provincetown, in Chatham particularly, in Hyannis, where we will be headed tomorrow. So there's a lot to see on the Cape. If you don't allow yourself at least 3 or 4 days, you're going to find that you came here and now suddenly it's time to go home and you're not ready to leave yet.
That makes sense. Yeah, I would think that you'd need at least that. Now, is it true that when you're wandering the beaches and hanging out at the Cape, you might actually see a celebrity or two?
You might just see a celebrity or two. There are more than a few folks of note who have fancy homes over here. This is kind of the Hamptons of the for Massachusetts, if you would. And so, yes, there is a lot of money here on the Cape, as there is. And one thing you'll also notice about the accommodations here is you don't have large hotels. You don't have huge resorts. You have a lot of small B&Bs, a lot of small properties. This beautiful Surfside Hotel and Suites that we are at here is just slightly about 3/4 of a mile south from downtown, right on the beach. It's one of the larger properties in town, and I dare I say probably 80 to 100 rooms. So most of the accommodations here are 8, 10, 12, 14 rooms. A lot of those little bed and breakfasty sort of places, and even the larger places here like the Surfside, Clayton, have a feeling, a very homey feeling to them. So it's a very personal experience, a very personalized experience, probably due to the fact that this is just a very diverse area, and almost everybody feels welcome here. I was downtown earlier at the dock waiting to pick up Chris, who was coming in on the ferry, and, you know, there are families walking around and all kinds of folks here. Just as I mentioned, it is a picture-perfect day in Cape Cod.
If there were two or three things that you wanted to make sure that you packed to take with you to a trip to the Cape, what would those be?
Sunscreen.
There's number one.
And some mosquito repellent.
Yeah. All right, Mark is at the Cape. We're here in the studio. let's fire off the beautiful Patty Page.
Fond of sand dunes and salty air.
And say we shall return in just a couple of minutes here on the Travel and Entertainment Radio Show with Clayton and a special guest from KVIE. We'll be back. News Talk 1530 KFBK. And as we swing into the travel guys in the entertainment portion of the program, here we go. I want to remind you that all the stuff that we talked about, our special guests and so forth, and all the information can be found at travelguysradio.com. You also have the opportunity, if there's been a show in the past that you've heard, you can podcast all of the programs. They're for you to listen to a second time. A lot of good information. Sometimes it goes by too quickly. But Travel Guys Radio .com is the place to be. Clayton, you've got a special guest in the studio. We've had him on before. Would you introduce, and let's move on into some entertainment.
Absolutely. I'm very happy to have my friend Heath Buckmaster in the studio. Heath and I have been volunteers for many, many years together at KVIE, but I guess he was a better volunteer than me because then he got a job.
Oh, my.
He's now the director of fundraising events. And
I thought everybody worked for free over there. What do you mean a job? Isn't this a public television?
A few of us get paid over there.
Okay.
But Heath and I met working together at the Art Auction, which is an annual fall event, a live on-air auction and auxiliary events that support it, which is just a lot of fun. But what I've learned from Heath here recently is that making that auction happen in late September means starting many, many months in advance, getting the ball rolling. So, Heath, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me back.
And,
it's nice to be here.
Tell me how you're going to get this ball rolling this year. We have the Call for Artists coming out right now.
We do. You know, the event happens in September, but you're right, it starts much, much earlier. We've been already planning it for the last several months, but this is a very special year for the Art Auction. This is our 30th anniversary doing this at KVIE. Even before that, there was the normal auction. But from an art standpoint, 30 years in the community, we've made a lot of changes as well. We have a full-time art curator who is focused on the arts all year round. It's It's pretty exciting. We start the main process of call for artists in June because it takes a long time. We get over 500 art submissions every year, and then that has to be juried down to a much smaller number that
jury.
We put on air.
So, like, I've painted this really cool picture of my dog. I can't just give it to you and you assure me it's going to be on the auction?
I can't. What I can do is say that we will accept it for the jury process, and then we have about 5 to 6 well-known art experts in the community who will go through their rigorous process of making sure that the art is appropriate for the public television audience, but more importantly, representative of the vast genres of art that we have in the Northern California area.
So it's categorical by whether it's a watercolor or an oil.
Absolutely. We have a few categories. One of them is in honor of our favorite travel guy on the TV, Huell Hauser.
Right on. That's amazing.
That's our California Gold category. It's all focused on beautiful California landscapes. We have a lot of artists who do sculpture and functional art, and so they can create items that they bring in that are three-dimensional.
So it's not just things that hang on the wall?
No, absolutely. Absolutely not. We also have very abstract pieces that we call contemporary art. Watercolor is also a popular category. We have a lot of watercolor artists in the area. Photography and prints is also good because we just live in such a beautiful place. People always go out and take pictures. And then we have a new category this year, which is our representational art. And those are more realism types of pieces where you could go out and take a photograph of something, but if you can actually paint that in a realistic landscape or realistic setting, that's a new category for this year.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Now, you said there would be 500 submissions. That is narrowed down to about 200 or so that are going to be auctioned off live on air.
Yes.
But I understand you have a new online companion coming this year.
So of those 500, there will be 200 to 250 that will be featured on air during the three-day live auction. But we wanted to make sure that we give visibility to the vast number of amazing artists in our area. So this year, we are introducing a brand new companion online auction. So for that entire week leading up to the live auction, we'll be auctioning off about 100 additional pieces so that artists can get a really incredible amount of visibility, even if they aren't selected for on television. We still want to showcase that there's some amazing art.
So it sounds like this is a really great venue for new and emerging artists.
You know, and I'm glad you said that, because I want to say it really is for new and emerging artists as well as established artists. In fact, the best of show winner from last year, it was his very first time submitting to the art auction, and he won best of show.
Wow.
So you could have been an artist for 50 years or 3 years, and you've still got the possibility to get in.
Now, when the judges, the jury, if you will, takes a look at the different artwork, do they know in advance who these artists are, or is it a blind judging, if you will, or jury?
It is mostly a blind jury. We do not tell them who the artist is for the piece, so they're going in with as objective a viewpoint as they can to make sure that we get good representation and no prejudice against any particular artist.
Well, that's good, because, you know, art, it usually increases with value the longer the artist has been painting, and even more valuable if they're dead.
That is true.
And I do know some artists in a number of categories who struggle with getting any recognition because they're not dead.
Mm-hmm.
And they're new or whatever. But yet their quality of work is exceptional. But like I say, so this might be one of those situations where an artist, like you say, that is relatively new, have an opportunity to enter, present their piece, and then finally get some recognition without necessarily somebody looking at you, don't even talk to me, because you're new, you're not dead.
And that's the nice thing about the KVIE art auction, is we want to be able to feature as many artists as we possibly can, whether they, you know, as I said, whether they have just created something brand new or if they've been in our environment for years and years. And I think that's the great thing. We're very focused on the arts, regardless of who the artist is.
It's a wonderful event, Tom. I think this is probably going to be my 15th, give or take, auction coming up to be a volunteer. And I grew up going to antique auctions. My mother worked for an antique auctioneer, so I was literally toddling around antique auctions, and there's just something about that energy.
Sure.
It just gets inside of me. And I always end up running out of the studio, you know, screaming at somebody to take my shift for a second. I run out of the studio because we aren't allowed to bid from within the studio. We have to go out, you know, into the real world onto a phone like all the other people. And I always end up going home with one or two or that. What was that one year? I went home with three pieces of art.
Very good. Couple of questions. Number one, for the artists that might have submissions, what's the process?
There are two ways that you can submit art. The first way is online. We're doing it new this year. It allows you to enter in an online form on our website. You can upload a high-resolution image of your piece of art. It allows us to get it into the jury process faster. The second way is that we will still have our in-person submissions as well. So from June 1st to July 6th, artists can go online to kvie.org/art auction. They'll see all of the details about how to submit their piece as well as the categories that are available. Or they can visit us at the studio on the 24th and 25th of June from noon to 4 p.m. They can bring in their art and they'll actually be accepted or declined on the spot for the jury process right then and there.
Wow. Okay. And then once you select all of your pieces, for those that haven't had an opportunity to view the auction and so forth, tell me how that goes on air.
Oh, it is so much fun. And it's one of the reasons why Clayton keeps coming back. And I actually really enjoy it. We basically sleep at the studio for an entire weekend. But our Studio A, which is the largest studio in Northern California, becomes an art gallery. We set up all our easels. Art just flows in through about 24 hours of live art auction. And we have guests who come in that are art experts. They talk about the art. We have a live auctioneer that follows the art expert through. And we move from piece to piece. And you call in and you place a bid on that art. And we watch the dollars go up. And all the money goes to support KVIE.
Now, do you have is there a time limit? In other words, for 5 minutes, we're going to take bids on a particular piece.
It depends. Some pieces go very fast because they might be just a piece that, you know, a lot of people are calling in about. It could be that it's a well-known artist, or it could even be a new artist that just has done something incredible that really resonates with people. Sometimes pieces will go for 10 minutes. Maybe there are people having a bidding war on the phone. Mm-hmm. We love to have those kinds of things.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. In fact, I have to drop the name of my favorite artist here, David Lobenberg.
Mm-hmm.
Bless his heart. Local artist. I love his style. I can pick it out. If I was one of the jurors, I wouldn't have to see his name. I can just pick it out by his style. But I've bought 5 of his paintings at the auction over the year.
Oh, my goodness.
So that makes me a legitimate collector.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the really great thing about the art auction is you don't have to be a longtime collector. It's a great place to go to start your collection. In fact, at our preview party this year, which we always have a preview party, it's kind of a gala event before the art auction. It's your opportunity to come and see all of the art before it goes up for auction. It's a great place to see a piece that says, you know what, this would look perfect in my living room, or this would look perfect in my grand hallway. And it gives you an opportunity to start a brand new collection that you can save for years to years to years and give to your kids, your grandkids. It's wonderful.
Right on. Well, we've talked about the call to artists and the jurying process. Remind us of the dates of the auction.
The auction will be in September, the weekend of the 23rd, 24th, 25th, with our preview gala, which this year will be a black tie event to celebrate our 30 years, and that's on September 19th, the Monday before.
I'm happy about that. I love putting on a tux.
Now, are you going to be on screen auctioning stuff off, Clayton?
I'm
is
right.
that what you do?
Because
I know you do a lot of fundraising.
Yeah, I usually am there. Anyone who knows me knows I love KVIE, Television Worth Watching.
Sure.
And half the time I actually give out 1-800-270-6601 as opposed to my own company's 800 number when I'm talking to clients. But I love the mission of Channel 6. It's been a real honor and privilege to be a part of the station for the last 18 years. And as we say, it's just an incredible community resource. I even get a little emotional when I talk about Six. I love it so much.
We love having Clayton there.
It's a lot of fun. Well, Tom, we've got a few seconds left.
Oh, wait, well, let's see. I think we go to what, 59.50? Just about that? Okay, all right. So Heath Buckmaster with KVIE. By the way, you can go to travelguysradio.com right there on the front page. You can click through to the art auction. Gives you all the details of the 30th annual art auction and the call for artists right there. So then you can check the categories and get started. I think the only thing left is for instead of being the guy that buys something, you know, I think it's time for you to do some creating, Clayton. Do you make anything?
Well,
besides a bologna sandwich?
Yeah, I mentioned that picture I painted of my dog.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and he's a dead dog. Now, the artist isn't dead, but the dog is.
So,
do you think that counts?
So go online and submit it right now, and we'll get it into the jury process mm-hmm.
You'll
for you.
Give it your utmost consideration, right, Heath?
I'll look at it.
Thanks.
Before we run out of time on today's program, partially from Cape Cod earlier with Mark Hoffman, you just returned from Spain, is that correct?
Si.
Si. And it looks like you forgot to shave somewhere along the way.
Hey, this is the height of fashion in España, Tom.
I bet it is.
Yeah, everybody looks like they have a 5 o'clock shadow, except for them, it actually is a 5 o'clock shadow. For me, it's taken about a week to get this much stubble.
Okay, in about 20 seconds, where did you go? What did you do?
We went to Sevilla, Madrid, Malaga, and Cordoba, so the south of Spain, Andalusia, Rick Steve's favorite area.
All right, I want to thank once again Heath, Clayton, and Mark, and Chris, and all of our guests from Cape Cod for being on the program. We'll see you next week, same time, same place, as Mark always says. 1 hour a week is all we ask. We're the Travel Guys, an entertainment radio program, News Talk 1530 KFBK. See you next week.